We'd like to welcome you to The Journey from the Hill. This is a weekly podcast of Chapel Hill Baptist Church. Each week, you'll hear biblical teaching from our pastor, Dr. Shannon Moses. At the end of today's podcast, you'll hear a way to reach out to us with any questions you might have about this message. Now, let's prayerfully listen as Dr. Moses opens the Word of God.
Glad you're here. Glad you're here. I am starting today looking at, going to go through several weeks of different things, conversations that we had down in Ecuador. We did something. We went down and we taught the pastors. We did a pastor's training, and it was really, really good. And one of the topics that we shared, and Casey shared, and actually all of us was able to chime in a little bit on it, but we was talking about signs of a healthy church. And as we were going through that, what we were doing is we was talking to all those pastors that were out there, and you know the different sizes of the churches and the different examples that's available. And, you know, it doesn't matter how big a church is when you start looking at if they're a healthy church and what are the things to look for in a healthy church. Size is not you can have a small church. You can have, 5 people, 55 people, 5,500 people. Size is not it. But there are certain things that has to be there to have a healthy church or to be a healthy church. And this morning, we're going to look at what I think is just a foundational, a fundamental, a must-have to have a healthy church. And we're going to look at several over the next several weeks with different things going on. But today we're going to start with the Bible. The Bible has to be central. The Bible has to be the center of the conversations, whether it's from this stage, whether it's from one of the Sunday school classes back in our youth, whether we're speaking to our children. The Bible has to be front and center. We talked this past Wednesday night about biblical worldview and the conversation, the concept of a biblical worldview. In America, the research has been done that says 69% of people would say they're born-again believers, that they're Christians. But of those 69%, only about 9% say they have a biblical worldview. And that's a scary number. That's of the Christians. Those just in general, whether you're saved or not, maybe 4%. It says 4% of the people have a biblical worldview. That means they look at their life, they govern their life, they lead their life based on what the Scripture says, but that's horrible. 9% of the 69% professing believers have a biblical worldview. Then what are you believing? To be a healthy church, to be a healthy believer, you've got to believe that this book is true. And this morning, I got a lot of stickies. We're going to look at a lot of different verses. We're going to a lot of different ones. And the Bible is central to our lives. And I want to just go ahead and say this up front. If to not just be a healthy church, but to be a healthy believer, the Scripture's got to be what you stand on. You got to believe that thing. If it comes down to somebody's opinion or the Word of God is right. It's not the opinions of men. It's not, well, I've always heard or they're teaching this or whatever. No, the Word of God is central, must be central to our lives. And you got to know the Word of God. It's got to be taught. Healthy churches teach the Word of God. I try my absolute best. I've gotten trouble before. People have made comments. All he does is reads the Bible. I think that's one of the best criticisms a pastor could ever receive is, doggone it, all he does is reads the Bible all the time. I mean, he never tells jokes. I mean, I don't know any cool jokes. I'm not funny like that. Mine is just dry humor. I'm a more of a dry humor guy. I can't do the jokes. Jokes are silly to me. I'm like, that's a stupid joke. And they're like, I'm not good with long stories. I don't start out with, hey, there was this guy that back in the, I don't do those. There's guys that do it really, really well. There's pastors, there's speakers that do really good joke work. They do really good storytelling. They can stream a little bit of Bible through a whole 30, 40-minute story about their life. I'm just not good at that. And I don't want to say I'm sorry, but if that's what you want, there's lots of really good churches out there that give those really good stories. I just don't give stories. I'm sorry. Because at the end of the day, this is what we're held accountable to. This is the authority. God's word is alive. Go with me. I'm going to start where God told me to kind of end. I'm going to start this morning. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Guys, I'm going to go to a lot of places this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. No. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this: For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrows, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open, bare, and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do with. That's why a lot of people don't want to read the Bible. That's why a lot of people don't want to read this, because it convicts them. They can be in the middle of sin, and when they pick up the Word of God or they hear the Word of God, they're convicted by the Word of God because it is alive. This old book still convicts today. This old book directs our life even today. It doesn't matter. Things have changed, times have changed, whims and fads have changed, but the word stands forever. It does not change. We're going to be judged in eternity based on that word. We're not going to be judged by what the world was doing at the time. No, we're going to be judged on how we stood on that book. A healthy church is not ashamed of this book, is not ashamed of the gospel of this book. It's not ashamed of the good news of this book. It's alive. It's a living word. And as we read it, it moves and works in our lives. Look over. Look over at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this. Guys, we have to be very careful about how we interpret the word of God. We got to be very careful in picking and choosing things to maybe make our point or to beat somebody over the head with. You got to look at the entire context of Scripture. If your point is totally out of line with Scripture, but you use a verse that may be used, you're wrong. You got to be very careful. You got to look at the whole context. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says this: But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke from God. This book is alive. This book is the literal. You are holding. That's why I say this is going to be a good day. Because you are literally holding the actual words of God in your lap. The same words that spoke into existence out of nothing, all that there are, is the same words that you're holding in your lap. You're reading them on the screen. This is the word of God, and it's not up to us. Well, I think this is true, or I think this is true. No, it's all true. How many times have you heard, yeah, but you can't take that literal, or you can't, yeah, but things have changed, or you know, that old book, or this book is real. This book is life. This book is all that we have. Be careful, church. Be careful, church member. Be careful, believer. and picking and choosing what we, listen, if it convicts us, it's right and we're wrong. If it's a hard read, then we got to get our lives right. We repent and we confess and we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm living in sin. I'm living in rebellion. Lord, I'm outside of your perfect will. God, forgive me. God, bring me back to your center. Bring me back to where you would want me to be. God, let me interpret it right. Let me understand it right. Pray for understanding. Pray for a heart that the Spirit of God to open our minds and our hearts to discern the truth, to understand it, to be able to apply it to our lives. It starts all the way back in the very, very, very beginning, early church. Go over to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the church, the children of Israel had been given the Ten Commandments. They had been given the law. They had been given the truth from God of how he was going to govern and direct his people. And he tells them here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is often used for our children and it's often used during baby dedications or something like that. It's used to get parents to pour into their kids. But for us, what are we pouring into our kids? Run the speed limit, pay your taxes, clean up your room. No, guys, here's the deal. At the end of the day, we better be pouring into our kids the truth of God's word. We must be pouring the word of God into our children. Beginning in verse 4, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Parents, what are we teaching our children? We teach them manners. We teach them how to sit at a table. We teach them to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. We teach them all that stuff. We teach them to change the oil, to change the tire. We teach them all these sports. We teach them everything under the sun. But are we teaching them the Word of God? We wonder why that ridiculous statistic is that 9% of the 69% of professing believers, only 9% have a biblical worldview. Could it be because the Bible is never talked about other than from the stage like this? Could it be that the Bible's not talked about in home? Talk about the Bible in the house. Talk about the Word of God in your home, the principles, the truths. He says, these words shall be on your lips. Talk about them when you walk in, when you're sitting, when you're doing. The Bible is central in the home. The Bible is a conversation that must be. Look over in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, down in verse 8, it reads this. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. You know, as a young person, I always, and I've said this before, I always got into those, hey, prosperous success, things are going to work out good. If I do what? The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. So you're telling me if I just simply stay in your word and hunger for your word and abide in your word and live by your word, then I will have success? That's what the Bible says. Where do most people look for success? Not judging it, but you know it. The system, the rat war wheel that every single one of us are on is to get to age 5 and go to school. And by the time you get to 18, you graduate from that one and you better be going to another one. And when you get 4 years in nowadays, you're going to need that 2 or 3 extra. And when you finish that, you're going to need a little more. Get all the education, all the education, all the education. Get all the, isn't it interesting that we teach them to get all the book sense they can get and ignore the most important book that literally says, you want to be prosperous? You want to be successful in whatever you do? You want to see things that you touch in life just happen? Live according to this book. Live according to this book. That's a biblical worldview. That's not a worldly worldview. That's a biblical worldview. And that flies in the face of the world. Oh, now preacher, yeah, but you got to know everything. I'm not saying don't go learn. I'm just saying this better be central. I'm not saying that's not important. I'm just saying we don't let that be all we learn and ignore this thing. And we wonder why we're in the mess we're in. We wonder. It ain't. You can't come run to the youth pastor when you're 16, 17, 18-year-olds off acting a fool saying, hey, you got to help me. Well, it's a little late now. It's a little late now. Why didn't you start at 5 years old or 6 years old or 7 years old? Well, I was just trusting Rob in the children's ministry. What about when they was preteens? Well, I just had Ryan and Meredith. The Word of God, y'all, is central. It is central to our lives. And it does not change. Look over at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You're like, yeah, but that's an old book. It doesn't matter that it's an old book. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. Forever. Forever and ever. Do you believe? Listen, do you believe this page? Oh, yeah, I believe that page. Do you believe this page? Oh, yeah, I believe that page. Then you also got to believe that page. It stands forever. The Word of God stands forever. A healthy church stands on the fact that the Word of God stands forever. The fads and the one that came to kill, steal, and destroy, the author of confusion, who's got the world confused about everything imaginable now, confused about everything under the sun. Can I trust my sex? Can I trust my gender? Can I trust my parents? Can I trust my life? Can I trust anything? Confusion, confusion, confusion. And this book is screaming, Isaiah is screaming that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. Then why not stand on what's going to be there when all of this burns up? We're going to have this. When it's all said and done, we're not judged on what some coach says or what some family member says or what some boss says. We're going to be judged on what this word says. Got to live it. Got to live it. Look over in Psalms. Psalms 119. All of Psalms 119. I'd encourage you to read every bit of it. It's long. It takes about 45 minutes to read it all. It's a long book. Read it. Go home and read it today. Read it today, Psalms 119. Every one of us, by listening to this, should go back and say, I want that book. I want to live by that book. I want to abide by that book. I want my life. I want my family raised by that book. I want my grandchildren to be raised and brought up by that book. Look at verse 9. How can a man keep his way pure? How can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. That's how you do it. It says, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. It says, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your word I have treasured in my heart. The word of God is central. The word of God is our source. Look at verse, turn over, look at verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It guides me. It guides my steps. It guides my walk. It guides my life. I wake up, my decisions, my choices, my path is guided not by the whims and the fads of the day, but no, by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm led by you, Lord Jesus. Look at Psalms 1. Psalm 1 reads this. Psalm 1, how blessed. Psalm 1, verse 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but. Wonder where it's going now. You got the choice. You either live by the world or. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know what it says about him? You know what the Bible says about that person? The Bible says he'll be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Unfortunately, we head out into life, and we look for prosperity, and we look for future, and we look for hope, and we look everywhere but the one place that promises it, the Word of God. And here's the deal. Does it mean you won't get cancer? Doesn't say that. Bible says count it all joy when you face various trials. Does it mean family won't die? Doesn't say that. Does it mean you won't die? Doesn't say that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It gives you calm assurance to know that, look, if I'm gone, I'm with him. Why? Because I've trusted in the Lord. Because I've confessed him as Lord and Savior. Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord to be saved will not be disappointed. Oh, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? Christ has overcome all of that for us. I'm not worried about all of that. Where do you get all that? Why are you such a great person? I'm just believing the words of this book. No other reason. A healthy church teaches these words. Sunday school teachers teach this book. Little people teachers, middle people teachers teach this book. Okay? We can go in there and we can do, I've stood outside of doors at every church I've ever been at, and I've listened to 20, 30, 40 minutes of prayer requests, and I've listened to 5, 10 minutes of Bible study. Don't do that. Prayer requests is great, but if every one of them die, I hope they go to heaven. Learn the Word. Teach the Word. Equip the saints to do the work. Stay in the Word. The Word of God. Stay in the Word. It's the Word. The Bible is central. We wonder why 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. It's because the Word is not important. Let's talk about football. Let's talk about basketball and baseball and golf and track and swimming and let's talk about Alabama. Let's talk about hunting and fishing. Let's talk about shopping. Let's talk about the deals. Let's talk about Black Friday. Let's talk about what you're cooking for Thanksgiving. Let's talk about your new hairdo. Let's talk about your dress. Let's talk about everything under the sun. Hey, we're running out of time. Let's jump into our Word real quick. That's been a truth at every church I've ever been at. Stay in the Word. Yeah, but Brother Shannon, they won't come. They don't have to come. You're not there as men pleasers. We're not men pleasers. I'm not doing this to please anybody. I'm not doing this for an attaboy and walk out the door and say, wow, I need a dad. You really stomp my toes. Well, that's foolish. You need to be in the Word. That's all I'm trying to say. You want your life to be where you want it to be? Be in the Word. You want to be in the center of God's will? Stay in the Word. You want to raise your family in a way that honors Christ? Stay in the Word. You want your children? Do you want your grandchildren? Do you want those that are under you? Stay in the Word. Okay? Look over. There's more. Casey's ready to roll. There's more, brother. I got a lot of stickies. I told you, dude. What are you doing? I got a long time to go. 2 Timothy. Look at verse 13. Listen. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continuing the things you've learned and become convinced of, and knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, evil men and imposters are going to grow from bad to worse. You're like, you get so caught up in what's in the news. The news has got you chasing your tail. Is Trump did this? Has Biden done this? Have they did this? None of it matters. It's smoke and mirrors. None of it matters. You stay in the Word. Deceivers, and you're like, yep, he's a deceiver. They're not deceivers. Put yourself up there and you make those decisions. That you would be hated as well. There's none of us. There's none above it. Let none of us think that we're above. Let none of us think it. Look at what it says. Keep reading. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is inspired by God for reproof. No, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearance of the kingdom, preach what? Preach what? Preach the word. Preach the word. The word is to be preached. The Bible is to be preached. It doesn't say preach love each other. No, because guess what? When you preach the word, they'll see that they got to love each other. Don't preach, go out and give everything. Don't preach, it'll come. Listen, it'll come. Don't get caught up on a soapbox. Paul isn't telling young Timothy there to go have a platform. To have a soapbox, to have a platform that gets you into the room to be able to preach. No, he says go preach the word. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. For the time will come. Listen, we're living it. Your parents were living it. Your great-grandparents were living it. For the time will come when they do not want to hear it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Look over same opening, probably Titus. Titus chapter 1 verse 7 says this. It says, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's stewards, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not found in sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he'll be able to be both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Stand on the word so that when people have something to argue about, you have no defense other than this is what the Bible says. Safest place to be is preaching in the word. Safest spot to be is to teach the word. There's no confusion. Parent come to you, a family member come to you, somebody comes to you and said, my kid told me that you said this. Well, let me turn. If you've got your Bible, turn over with me right here. Let me show you what the Bible says. And you know what? If they don't like it, they can leave. But if it was your opinion, if it was some, well, I've always heard, or if it was your soapbox, careful. Preach the word. If it was your agenda that I'm going to get in there and I'm going to browbeat and I'm going to do what I want to do, that Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says teach the word of God. How is the people going to have a worldview biblically if they don't know the word of God? Look over. I think that's it. And I'll finish with where I started. Go back to 2 Peter. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 as we close. Don't let this keep you from reading. Don't let this keep you from studying. Don't let this keep you from staying in it. Because it's going to uncover, it's going to point out things, it's going to show things, it's going to be uncomfortable to read at times. It's going to be convicting. It's going to force us to have to make a choice. Do I continue in this direction, in this path that feels good, tastes good, smells good, acts good, doggone it, everybody loves me, the world loves me, I'm the center of the universe, I am a rock star, but it runs in total opposition to what the Word of God teaches. And there we stand with a document in our hand that was the actual Word of God, and Scripture says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit. It moves, y'all, of both joints and marrow and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from its sight. But all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And that right there is the reason most people don't want to have anything to do with that book. Because I read it and it gets on to me. I read it and it corrects me. I read it and it judges me. I read it and it tries to stop me. I read it and it ain't no fun. Because the shiny things of this world and the prince and power of this world has convinced men that, hey, live it up. Just enjoy. Ignore that old book. Ignore that old preacher. Ignore that old teacher. Ignore that old church. Ignore them rules. They're just there to say, no, no, no. No, they're not. No, they're not. We stand before an almighty God one of these days, and our life is going to be played out before us. And the only thing that's going to make it is what we do for Him. Walk worthy of Him. Father God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that we don't have to wonder. Thank You that we can humbly and simply stand behind its authority. We are not in a popularity contest. We are not in a beauty pageant. In a see how many people we can get thing. God, we have been commissioned to preach the Word and to live by the Word. And to allow our lives to be under subjection in the authority of Your Word. Holy Spirit of God, help us to have a hunger for Your Word. God, help us to want to know more of it. God, let that statistic of 9% of believers have a biblical worldview, let that convict us and let us start considering our lives, how what we think about social issues and family issues and life issues and world issues. Have we let the things that we've watched and heard and been indoctrinated by the whims of this fallen world, have we let it slip in and basically, God, if we're honest with ourselves, if it come down to the Word or the will of men, we are going to follow the will of men because that just seems right. That just seems fair, and that just seems just, and that just seems good, and that just seems what everybody else would do, and everybody else would vote. we leave your word there on the old shelf. God, forgive us. God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy. God, please forgive us. It's for me and my house, Lord. I want to serve you. It's for me and my house, Lord. I want to walk in obedience to you. Help me know you more. Help me know you more. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. It's for me, God. Forgive me of my sins and my failure. And Lord, help me to hunger for you in each one of us as we cry out. Help us hunger for you more. We don't go find you staring at the trees. We don't go find you off on some trip. No, we find you in the Word, in the pages of Scripture. God, we want to be healthy, not because of charisma or attractiveness. We don't want to be called healthy because of large attendance and large numbers and what the offering is and what we have to provide. No, we want to be healthy because first and foremost, we stand on the Word of God unapologetically. From this pulpit to those classrooms to everything that we do, God, that's what we desire. And God, when we're not, forgive us, convict us, help us, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you received a blessing from this week's message. If you have any questions about what you've heard from Pastor Shannon this week, you may call our church office at area code 205-339-4071. We pray that God's word strengthens you as you go on your journey today.